John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
You know, really the hamstring is what killed me. Like pulling my hamstring, running the floor reps is what really killed me. Because I started to turn it on before that happened. But I still felt like, I was like, man, I feel like I'm doing everything I can.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. This is episode 42.
Three. I only know it because when you send us the text to join the chat, it says the number.
43, featuring Steven Souza Jr.
This is a long-awaited one.
It's very excited.
That's been talked about for a while. It's been on the books for a little while.
Yeah, we had to get him back from the Dominican so that we can actually interview him. We'll be excited to hear about his adventures in the Dominican, maybe some of his Cubs experiences, the dugout antics. Mm-hmm. Everybody will get to hear Steven Souza's wonderful personality.
Which I feel like I said before, is not very well known that he has such a great personality.
No, it's underrated.
It's a secret.
Yes. We should touch on the fact that Parse is the best sponsor ever.
They are. Got a little Christmas gift from them.
Sent some Parse out, sent some hats. Just getting a package in the mail from Parse made me so happy.
And a handwritten note, too.
It was a handwritten note.
That goes a long way.
He said that he wants us to go down to Colombia and play a Ryder Cup against like him and Pudge Rodriguez. I was just like, I'm all in. Like, I'll do it. I got Zach and Ian on my team, so I like my chances.
The Compound is all in on a trip to Colombia. I mean, imagine the content of the off-season Colombian excursion.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if it'd be able to happen this year, but at some point, we'll have to make that happen.
Maybe we can drink an entire bottle of Parse and then plant a tree in Colombia.
In Colombia, yes.
I don't hate the idea. I don't hate it. I'm in on it.
Zach, how do you feel about the Jets winning a football game?
It's both. I have both mixed feelings.
You should have taken it.
I don't want to hear it from you because you've even said, as a fan of a team, you can never root for your team to lose.
No. In this case, yes. No. In this case, nope. Yes, you root to lose.
Nope. No, I don't. Nope.
Well, enjoy. I don't even know who's supposed to go number two in the draft. I don't even know. I have no clue. It's Trevor Lawrence and then everybody else.
The offensive tackle from Oregon. Bring him.
You just got a top offense tackle.
Yeah, make them both and then build and have Sam Darnold.
Right tackle? You're going to spend a second overall pick on a right tackle. That makes
absolutely. No sense. He builds a great wall of China in front of Sam Darnold. Hey,
he can protect Sam Darnold. He still ain't going to throw it to an open receiver. He's going to throw it to a defender because he stinks.
Nope.
Congrats on your win, though. You know?
Thanks, man. Hey, all of us can't have victory Mondays.
Hope it was worth it.
It was worth it.
But at what cost? At what?
That's fine.
Let's move past football. The baseball offseason is moving at a snail's pace.
There's been not, like, I'm literally waiting for something to happen, like some big name to go off the board. Has there been a single signing in the past 3 weeks?
No.
I don't know of anybody that's gotten a contract.
Nothing's happened and nothing will happen until early January, if that.
The only thing I did see, the only news I've seen on baseball-wise, is John Heyman tweeting about Yu Darvish possibly being available in trade, which I'm not sure I believe.
That sounds like pure clickbait to me.
That sounds like saying anybody, the Dodgers, Mookie Betts, like if someone offers you a trade for somebody, what are you going to hang up you're going to hear what they say and be like, well, if they offer me six guys that have been all-stars, I'm probably going to say yes.
Yeah, that's like the Angels making Trout available.
Yeah, but if someone comes in and says, we'll give you Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy, Will Smith, like then they're probably like, I think we have to do that. Like, that's five starting players.
But it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist, and it won't happen. Let's bring Sir Steven on and talk to him about the Steven Souza experience. here we are with 2017 April 23rd AL Player of the Week, Steven Souza Jr. Steven.
That's rolling back the clock right there, boys.
Souza, I need to know what your stats were for that week.
Ooh.
Was it like five homers? Did you bang off of one team? Who are you playing?
We played the Tigers, the Astros, and the Blue Jays that week. And I think I got three hits in three games that week. And then, like, how many days is that? So I got to add up the days. I think I got a hit every day, and I went 2-for on three other days. So I hit like.
So you're hitting like well over 500.
No, because some of them were like 2-for-5. You know, and then I think there was a 1-for-4. No, so I went three hits three times, two hits two times, and then 0-for, I think, twice. I think it was something like that. Because it was like 4-10 with like four homers, 15 RBIs, and something like that.
That's a beautiful week.
Yeah.
I got a G-Shock. Oh, thank you, MLB.
Big time. There's like not that many weeks in the season, so you know they can't be giving out too many G-Shocks.
Right, I get it. Custom color, it was red. Still have it, you know.
I didn't get anything. I got a piece of paper.
You got nothing?
No, they didn't even. I didn't even know if I have the piece of like. I don't even think I got the piece of paper.
Wow.
To commemorate it, at least you got. I think because mine was 2 years later, so at that point MLB probably had run out of money for the G-Shock fund. Was all there was nothing left.
He'll never know. We'll just slide in this paper. It's the last week of the season. Like it's fine.
It was the last week of the season thing where they were like,
"Ah, there's a lot going on there."
Steven, when did you get back from the DR?
Monday. So I was gonna come back last Monday. So I was gonna come back that Friday, but my son's birthday was on Tuesday. And it was miserable down there. And so I was like, well.
I thought you meant your son's birthday was miserable. No,
my son's birthday was awesome. Okay, Dakota. But it was a grind down there. I was like, do I want to grind down here for four more days or do I want to go spend my son's birthday with him? And I was like, you know what? I flipped the coin and it landed on birthday. And so I went.
Did you have any post-game celebrations? I've seen a bunch of those videos surfacing on Twitter.
Yeah, we had one where the trainer there, and I thought it was like this real star. Like I thought it was like a Dominican singer in our locker room. And one of the players grabs a mic and like introduces this guy, and all the players gather around in this corner, and it's like, of course, like right next to my locker. Why wouldn't it be? And this guy walks out. He's got like this like suit jacket on and like these shades and like this headband. I'm like, oh, sick. And he's singing and it's just an instrumental. So I'm like, oh man, this is like tight. So I'm like, I asked the guys, I'm like, who is this? Like, oh, it's the trainer. I said, what? He said, yes, it's the trainer. He likes to sing. I go, why are you guys circling him? They had their cameras out. Like there's a star. That was pretty funny. He did that like twice. That was the most, but no Undertaker like Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s doing down there. But
did the trainer kill it? Was he like really good?
Yeah, he was sick. He killed it. That's why I thought he was legit because I was just like, man, this guy's good. Like he could make it in the States, you know.
How long were you down there playing?
I got there on November 27th and I left on the 14th. So like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
it was sick. It's really fun. It's a fun experience to like get out of bed and then try and hit 98 in your first at bat after you haven't played in 3 months, and then go into 13 innings to play that game. Like that is it's fun. It's so much fun.
What position were you playing? Were you playing left, right?
I played left, and I asked the coach at one point. I was like, "Hey, just quick question. Like, are you playing me in left because Because I can't, you don't think I can throw anymore or what?" And he's like, "No, it's just kind of like a thing down here. Like, apparently, like some guys, like, they just play that. Like, if you're Latino, you play right field down there. It's like a thing. I don't know. Like, you don't play shortstop. Like, there's no American shortstops. Like, first base, left field, DH.
Yep.
That's all you can do?
You can play the corners. Yeah.
So how many American guys were on your team?
We had one, two, three position players, and then like four pitchers, like four American pitchers. And I think three of them were starters, and then two of them were out of the pen. Dakota, you remember Dermody?
Oh, Dermody, yeah.
Yeah, he showed up like the second to last day before I left.
He's like the nicest guy of all time.
Nicest guy, and it looked like he was in the jungle. Like he thought he was in the jungle. He just didn't know what to do, where to go.
He didn't like it.
I don't know. He was just like so lost. It looked like he was like in center field trying to find the bullpen, you know?
What's it like after the game, like off the field there?
You just had to go back. It's kind of like the season. Like you just had to go back to the hotel, only like there was no hot water. So like wear it, you know? And then there was tarantulas crawling around our hotel. So that was cool. That was fun. Felt like Jurassic Park.
Bro, what?
Yes. There's a dead tarantula. Like, I'm not exaggerating. Like, that big on the basketball court. Out there.
I'm out. I'm there one day and I'm gone, if that's the case.
Oh, man. There was like five of them. It was crazy.
That's insane. Did you maintain any of your pregame rituals?
Any of them? No.
None of them?
That's why I think I didn't hit very well down there. I couldn't do anything. Like, I had to show up and then just hit in the game.
What about no BP?
I couldn't take a swan dive into a pool. Nothing.
I would like for you to tell the people about your pregame pool routine. Because it's one of my favorite personal pregame routines that I've ever witnessed.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, it started in Arizona, you know. They got mad at me there for doing it too. But, you know, I just really like to, like, get my joints loose and, you know, feel like I'm getting into the competitive spirit. And there's no better competitor, I think, for America than Michael Phelps, you know. So I try and put myself in his shoes, you know, what he's like walking up to the Olympics.
What would Michael do?
It's exactly the way I think about it, you know. I'm just kind of running that through my mind. What would Michael do right here? And a lot of people think about Michael Jordan, but I like Michael Phelps, you know. So, yeah. You know, I kind of get my Speedo on. I do my stretches, you know, once I line up here, make sure my lats are loose. Usually I have a teammate, you know, or someone give me a horn so I know when the clock starts. And I take a nice swan dive and do a couple laps in the pool.
And this year that was Kipnis this year.
That was Jason. Jason was my horn guy.
You actually do this?
I actually do this. The only problem is usually training staffs, they're not fond of me because it creates like a big like mess, you know. I gotta clean it up. And unfortunately in Chicago they would put all of their road equipment next to the pool. And I did this for like what, 2 months while I was there?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't move it. So it was just getting soaked every time. And I was just like, sorry guys.
This is what I do.
I gotta lock it in, you know.
And you do this every game?
Not every game, but when I'm like, you know, when I need that like pick me up, like to lock it in or like for the boys, you know, we go and get it.
I love
that. So in Wrigley, the hydro room, you know, you walk in and the long pool, the bigger pool, is closest to the windows that separate the training room from the hydro room, and then you have the hot tub and cold tub. And so Kipnis would be in the hot tub, you know, kind of just relaxing, getting ready. And then you would have Suze dive into the bigger pool, and it would be such a splash that the water would go up and hit the glass that separated the training room from the hydro room. So the trainers would be stretching somebody, and you would just see this big splash come and hit the glass.
PJ hated me.
I was going to say, I bet the trainers did not enjoy it very much.
No, yeah. Frange did. Frange loved it.
Frange liked it.
Yeah. And so one of the trainers would kind of like stick their head in, and Steven would be on the outside of the pool being like, we're going to catch whoever did this. I swear.
That made him more mad. Because sometimes they would be in there and sometimes they wouldn't. Most of the time I did it when they weren't in there. And so for a while, PJ didn't know it was me. And so I was like, somebody came in here and it was just, there's water like on the ceiling, PJ. And I'm sick of it. Like, I'm not putting up with it around here, and I'm going to find out. I'm a leader in this place, and I'm going to find out who did that.
We're going to catch him.
Yeah, we're going to catch that guy, and we're going to sit him down in front of you, PJ. He's like, all right, yeah.
And he believed you?
No. I think eventually he caught on, but for a little bit, I think he was like, yeah, I don't know. And then I blamed it on Caitlin that one time.
Our massage therapist.
I said, Caitlin, she said she needed a jump, you know? Like, I don't know. I tried to stop her, but she did what she got to do.
There's also a wonderful video of you and Kipnis in the dugout.
Yeah.
Of Kipnis over the railing and you clapping his lights together.
That's
an all-timer video
of the year.
I don't even know. Like, 2020 was so strange. Like, I don't remember half the stuff I did, but, you know, it was just about, like, bringing energy. And then Kipnis, for some reason, like, put his whole body over the fence and was clapping like a seal. And I was like, man, what a great opportunity to clap his feet right now, you know? what people don't know is I was actually spiking him with his own spikes. And he got down. He was like, ow! He's, like, bleeding from his cleats, but it's for the boys. Like, you do whatever can for the boys when you're grinding, you know?
I mean, I don't remember, but I'd guarantee you guys won that game.
Easily. At least 2-1.
I said this many times post-Sousa. P.S. post-Sousa.
Yeah.
I said the energy that you brought to our dugout and to our locker room was so incredible. And I asked for a stat comparison from when you were on the team and when you were not on the
no,
team.
No, you didn't.
Offensive standpoint, I actually saw it tweeted once, and it was like a hilarious difference between our offense before and after you were on.
It was better when you got when I left.
No. It was better when you were there.
See, and worse. I had this false sense of security because I was like, look, I'm contributing here, you know, like I'm not doing great on the field, but I feel like I'm bringing it. And then Theo's like, hey man, take a hike. You gotta go.
Do you want to talk about
the breakup?
The breakup? When in the middle of a doubleheader?
Yeah, no. So, which is strange, right? Like,
it's absurd.
If you look up the number of times that that's happened, it can't be more than a hand. Like, that never happens.
And I'm like, look, I've been in the league for 7 years. I'm like, this is extremely disrespectful, guys. But look, 2020 was crazy, and like the stuff that everyone had to do, it's whatever. Like, I don't hold it against anyone. But like, you know, during the season, it was like if I punched out twice, I was getting taken out. And so I punched out twice, and I was like, okay. And Wainwright, like, it was like big situations. Like, I punched out with the bases loaded, and then I think I punched out with like runners on first and second. So I was like, man, I suck again, you know? So I need to go clean it up. And I'm like, all right, let me lock in for game two because there's a chance. And then they call me in, and I'm like, what's going on here? And they're like, hey, we're going to have to let you go. And I said, no, I'm going to have to let you go.
Stop.
No, I didn't say that. Oh, man. I was just frustrated because – you know, really the hamstring is what killed me. Like pulling my hamstring running the football routes is what really killed me. Because I started to turn it on before that happened. But I still felt like I was like, man, I feel like I'm doing everything I can. And this was only like my second game back from the DL. And I felt like it was just an unfair situation. And
with the shortened season, everything was so compressed. And you had 20 at-bats at that point, maybe?
Yeah. I think 27 is what I finished with. And I'm like, if I go, let's just say I went, what would happen if I would have hit that grand slam? Would that have happened? You know, like,
yeah,
that's my question is like, were you waiting for something to see? Like, I don't know. It was just a strange situation, but man, on a side note, like one of the best times I've ever had in baseball with a group of guys that like, It was so sad for me because I enjoyed that team so much. Like getting let go is like, that sucks. Like nobody wants to be a part of that. But like if it would have been a horrible year with like guys I didn't enjoy, I'd been like, all right, just move on, right? Like, no big deal. But I loved like so many people there, like, and quickly, and like bonded with a lot of guys. And that's what really hurt me, was like, man, I'm genuinely going to miss this team right now, because yeah. I genuinely like these people.
That was so that, and that was right, kind of right before the trade deadline, correct?
I think it was like the day after, and we had just gotten Cam.
Day after. So we just, maybe we just got Jose Martinez.
Yes.
And it was just after, something like that, right? So like we had this group who had gone through spring training together, had gone through the entire shutdown together, essentially. And then you get through the first month of the season, we're in first place, we're rolling, and you have this group that's meshing so well. And then in between double headers, literally we walk in. I think we just lost. And we walked in.
It was my fault.
And it was no. We just lost. And we were, and it was against the Cardinals. So we were trying to get back on track to win game two. And then somebody came up to me and was like, we just released Souza. I'm like, what the fuck? We're not in between games and we're trying, what are we doing? And so that was like the beginning of the kind of the group that had gone through the whole thing together, and the first piece of that coming apart, which was just a crazy like time that we all got to spend together. And you're right, like the group was so tight knit and got together so well and had experienced so much and been through so much in 2020, even not, you know, not being together for that much time, but that camaraderie and having to spend all the time in the hotel together and that closeness.
Yeah. And I think it's what, like, when we got off to such a great start, and in all facets of the game, like we were pitching, we were hitting, and it's because we like made it a point to like, we are not going to let this season give a reason to complain. And we're just going to enjoy each other in the game. And like, it's one thing to say that, right? And then it can go bad, but like, we did, and we had like bad games, good games, but it felt like we were constantly like this, enjoying each other. And that's, for me, like, that's what championship like baseball is. And that's like why I play the game. And so for it to get taken away like that, when you've waited to like be a part of like a team like that, was difficult, you know? But Jed, I'll still sign. I'll sign back if you can just, you know, we can make up, Jed, and I'll come back. Don't twist my arm.
We're all on the Steven Souza 2021 train.
I'm coming back, boys. All right.
It was definitely noticeable, like, how much fun you guys had, because like we could hear it, me and Zach, like watching a game, like you can hear the dugout chirping. Like, didn't you guys even get into it with a couple other teams because you guys would like chirp loud, like just having fun? Like, that's just part of it.
Oh yeah, Danny Duffy tried to fight me.
Steven was the number one contributor to.
Yes. Trying to start fights.
Being a little too loud in the dugout.
A little too aggressive at times, for sure. But it was more than not, it was to guys I knew, except for Danny Duffy.
What happened with that?
I can't remember, but it was something. Well, I said something about a pitcher that was.
He said something about a young guy.
Yeah. Like,
and on the Royals, who was either making his debut or one of his first few starts.
But he came from like high A. Like, yeah. He skipped like double A, triple A, and I had said like, send him back to high A, you know? And then I was like, all right, that's too far. I'm sorry. Yeah, and I said that out loud.
He did. You can't hear that. You only hear the really loud, bad chirp. And then Steven would do this type of stuff all the time. Like, he would say something, and then as soon as it would come out of his mouth, he'd be like, my bad, guys, too far.
I'm sorry, guys. And I told that to the guy out loud. I was like, hey, you're still good. I'm sorry. That was too far. Too far. But then, like, Danny Duffy, like, lost it after that. Like,
which just trying to be a good teammate, trying to protect his guy. But it got a little – but that's the type of stuff that in a normal season you would never hear.
Yeah.
And in the 2020 season
– you heard everything.
You heard everything, and it would get a little out of hand. And you'd be like, no, I didn't mean it. We were just trying to have fun over here. And it's like, well, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. You're going to die. But it was – man, that was fun. What a – The best thing ever was starting Rizzo's walk-up song.
That was all you.
I know, but like, it's one thing for me to do it, but that's when I knew it was going to be a fun season, is like, I did it in Cincinnati and everybody joined in and we just all started singing it. And then it gradually got more like intense. And then Schwarber was doing this on the sideline, you know.
Teams hated that too.
Hated it.
So that was whenever Riz would walk. Riz has this very distinct walk up at Wrigley that he's had for 5 years at least now. Yeah. And so when he would come up at home or on the road, or I guess on the road specifically because there was no walk-up music, Steven would start clapping and he would sing his walk-up song for the and like loud. So both teams could hear it. And we would, the whole dugout would be clapping. Steven would be singing and other teams were like, what the fuck are you doing? We would do it every first at bat of the game.
Oh man.
That's one of those, like, if you're on the team, you love it and it's hilarious. If you're on the other team, you're like, what's this guy doing?
This guy's tired, you know?
Yeah. The Reds hated it. The Brewers have always hated his walk-up song. They've always tried to mimic it. So, but like,
that's the best part. Go ahead, piss them off. Like, why not?
It was that. That was the. That was the type of year it was. It was literally like we were playing like a little league team.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like in no other circumstance would we do that, because in Wrigley Field you've got the best fans in baseball and they bring the energy. But you had to figure out a way to not go through the mundane days of going back to your jail cell and then coming to the field. You know, and it was fun. And I had guys like texting me from other teams, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm enjoying 2020. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know,
literally.
And they found, like, once we explained like what we're doing, like they were like, oh, that's sick. Well, we're dead over here. So
it's not like you guys were doing it to be dicks to the other team. It's like, it's just, we're just having fun. Like,
yeah,
it's not mean.
No,
no, I can't imagine being in an environment that was, cause like we felt it the first couple inter squad games that we played with no crowd noise at Wrigley, just us against each other. We were like,
it was fun.
This is tough. Yeah, this is tough.
It was just, there was nothing happening and there was nothing.
Ian, if you didn't think that was fun, you could have came and hung out in South Bend with us. That was,
yeah, I'm sure you guys were having a blast down there.
Dakota and I hung out in South Bend.
Hey, if you didn't think that wasn't fun, you could have stayed at home with me.
Yeah, true. Zach was at home.
Zach, you did go to Detroit, though.
I did.
It's America's Park. Yeah. America.
So, can you talk about the hardships that you went through, like through your injury and then even coming back from it, too?
Like with my knee?
Yeah.
Like, where do you want me to start from when it happened?
Yeah, just, you know, like the beginning of the year, wasn't it? When you were in Arizona, right?
It was the last game of spring training.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had had a down year the year before because I tore my pec the last week of spring training the previous year. And so I just dealt with that all year. And so I came into spring. I had a great spring. And I was like, all right, fresh start, you know, let's go. And then the last game, I slipped on home plate and snapped my knee and basically tore my ACL, LCL, partial, my PCL, my hamstring, and my IT band where they connect. And I tore it all off. And so my season was over and like, it was just a grind. Like, you know, there's like, I've had injuries my whole career, like little ones, but never one where you're like, is this going to change who I am? Or like, am I ever going to play again? Like that's kind of where I was at, where it's a weird thing to go through. And so the rehab was hard, man. Like doctors were like, I don't know if you're going to straighten your leg again, like your strength in your quad, like just all these like ifs, right? With this like, all the other injuries were like, well, if you just do this, you'll be back. You'll be fine. Right. And so like I kept hitting checkpoints. And then by the end of the year, I was like, man, I think I'm going to be back to normal. And it was still like, still when I played in spring training, when I came in, there was so many things I had to like experience to believe that I could still do it. Like I had to hit a homer. Like I think I hit one in live BP was like, oh, like I can still do that. You know, like, slide. Oh, it's fine. Like all these tiny things that you take for granted that you're just wondering if like you can still do. And so like I had a really good spring and out and it gave me like this ton of confidence. Like, man, I'm really going to help this team win this year. And man, the shutdown just like killed me. And trying to restart that. But man, it was like, once we started back up, like getting that first hit in my first AB off of Wade Miley, I was like, I was super emotional because of everything that I had just gone through. And it was insane. I just didn't know if I was ever going to play again. And then with the shutdown, I was like, I don't know how it's going to go. But the shutdown helped with like a little more healing, but it threw off like all of like the timing and stuff I've been working for. clearly that didn't affect me in the same way, you know, as it affected me.
That was a really cool moment as a teammate to be able to experience you getting your first hit back. Obviously, as somebody who hasn't gone through that, you can't possibly understand what it's like to take an entire year off and to go through that entire process and how hard you worked to come back. But to see the emotion after, because I think you had doubled and then scored.
Yeah.
And then you came into the dugout and were pretty emotional after that. And that was like, that was cool. It was cool just to like give you a hug and be like, that's fucking awesome. Like that part of it, teammate, was a really cool experience.
And that's like how, like, I feel like part of it was how I bonded so quickly with everyone was like, I noticed that like after that moment, like everyone came and gave me a hug, you know, like it wasn't like I was just like emotional on the side. And like, then I went out and played, like everybody felt that. And I felt that everybody cared about me. And that's when like, I was like, man, these guys are awesome up here, you know? So that was fun. You know, hitting the homer off of Knebel in the top of the eighth.
Huge homer.
That was like another thing. Like, I was like, I can't believe that I can still do this. That was the final piece where I was like, I'm going to play this game for a while still. Like, I'm fine. I can run. Everything is normal. And then Theo let me go. So that was cool.
But hey, we're mending the fences.
We're mending. Talk to Jed. I do think Theo is a fantastic person, by the way, just a side note.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Hey, cover what you were saying before. That's smart. That's cover all the bases.
Yeah.
Steven, do you want to talk at all about your attempts to throw the ball to the fans in the rooftops across the street?
I remember there were many about this on Twitter.
There were many attempts, and that's what Twitter doesn't realize is the fans didn't get any of those balls.
I don't think they caught one.
No, I don't think there was one. There's probably some holes in cars for sure. Or at least one in a pizza deep dish, I would assume. The funniest part about all of those throws is every time I threw the ball, it was like Javi was watching the whole flight of the ball and would yell at me, nope. Like they didn't get it. Like every time.
Well, because you as the right fielder can't really see exactly where you're trying to throw it.
I'm just chucking.
It's pretty blind because so you're when, just you look,
blindly
when you
throwing look throwing a ball up, as far as you can over the fence.
Yeah, so he would be in right field.
Into the middle of a city too.
Yeah.
Right. And he would turn, and when you look up, you can't really see the bleachers across the street, but you know the vicinity of where they are.
Right.
So he would turn and let it rip. And as the center fielder being next to him, you could see the flight. Like as soon as it left his hand, you could see it going right down the street. Like it's going directly down Sheffield. And this thing's going to land on somebody's head walking their dog, as opposed to actually getting to a fan. So
it just started to fade, like a nice little draw, you know, or a fade.
Yeah. And you could see the people in the bleachers with their hands up, and they would immediately just look and just watch it go down the street. But they were great attempts.
The great fans of Chicago. I just tried to bless them with a ball, and unfortunately, I just gripped a two-seam too many times. You know, that's what ended up happening. Those were good times. The funny one, too, that I don't know if they showed it, but there was a ball that was, like, fouled off, and it landed, like, in front of the ivy. And I like picked it up and I joked like I was just going to stick it in the ivy and walk away. And like the first base umpire like must not have seen me pull the ball back out. Like I didn't do that. And he's like, hey, you can't do that. I'm like, it's right here, Dave. Thank you. Throw it out. But Rizzo was like dying laughing the whole time watching him.
Rizzo really enjoyed your right field antics.
Oh, man. It's just another thing that I probably wouldn't have done with 40,000 people there, but it was just like, I'm either going to be miserable out here picking grass or I'm going to try and have some fun.
Yeah, make it enjoyable.
Yeah, because when the pitch starts, I'm obviously locked in and I'm serious, but in between pitches, I'm like, you know, man, 2020, I wonder how many COVID cases are in Chicago today, you know,
No fans to look at or anything. There's just nothing to do out there.
Nothing to do. You know, I could have grabbed a piece of popcorn. There's nothing, you know. I've had some funny interactions with some fans, though.
What's your favorite fan interaction?
So I was in Toronto, and they were the worst. This is when they were really good, and they were fun to play. And the fans were crazy because they're like hockey fans in Canada, right? They don't know what baseball is. They just know there's a game going on, and it might as well be hockey. And so they get, you know, blistered drunk. And there's one guy was on the line, the foul line, left field line. And in Toronto, it's kind of like Wrigley, but there's a little foul line, and then it kind of runs like along the wall. So except that the wall is low there, so you can jump over and try and run. So somebody hit like a foul ball, and this was like 10 rows deep. And this guy had been wearing me out from the first inning, and talking about my mom and all this stuff. And so I just start sprinting over there, like full sprint, like I'm watching the ball. And I look out of my eye where he is, and I run right at him. And I jump for the ball. And this ball's 10 rows deep, boys. Like, I'm not catching this ball. And I don't even put my glove up. If you can find the video, I don't even put my glove up. And I just swan dive like this with my forearm like this. And I knock the guy's beer in his face, goes all over. And I go, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. So sorry. So sorry. Let me get somebody to clean that up for you right here. And I just ran back. That was my best moment.
That's incredible. So I don't think I'm going to have to look up that video.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to find that.
Everybody asked me, like, dude, why'd you dive for that? And I was like, oh, I just thought I had to play, you know?
Yeah, guy was talking about my mom.
It's no big deal.
I thought I could get to that one.
Yeah. 7 rows deep, 10 rows deep. I mean, this ball's not even close. I mean, it was up there.
We're gonna overlay that video with this story.
You have to. Yes.
Wait, there was a clip of you, wasn't it in Tampa Bay when you dove for a ball?
Okay.
There's
it
a
was
play
in Minnesota, okay?
Steven whiffs a ball by 20 yards.
It was closer than it looked.
Oh, all right.
The sun was out. There was a lot of wind that day. It's across.
High energy effort guy.
It was a crosswind, like 30 miles an hour. And it was a huge slice that played.
I mean, sue a guy for trying to make a hustle play for his
coach. Yeah, like I'm just trying to do it all for the team or something like that. So what really happened was it was Kenny's Vargas was hitting, and I was shifted like on the left side of the base. And in Minnesota, the lights are pretty low, like, and the ball gets in there all the time. And so Kenny's hits this ball, and I don't think I've ever had a ball like this where it went up and it was gone. But I knew it was like somewhat in my direction.
There's also nothing worse than this feeling.
Nothing worse. And there's nothing worse than watching some slap out there go like this and it lands like right next to him. Right. So I'm like, I'm not going to be that slap. Like, that's not me. Like, I'm hustle guy. Right. So I start running over and I'm like, I don't know where this ball's at. And so in spring training in 2012, I had switched to be an outfielder, and we were running this drill, and the sun ball drill, where we had two outfielders converging and we put it right in the sun. And so my stupid behind when I was young was, oh, I'll just keep running and it'll come out. Right. It didn't come out and it hit me in the face. And I just kept running. It hit me in the face and I just kept going like nothing happened. And so I'm like, all right, that is never happening again. So I have these two incidents of like, I'm not letting this ball drop, and this ball's not hit me in the face. Right. So I'm like, what do I got to do? I'm going to run in the direction, then I'm going to slide. Right. And everybody's going to think, oh, great effort. You know, almost had it. Well, little do I know, I look up and Kiermaier's filling the ball in center field, you know. And I'm like, oh, man. Then they replayed up on the thing like six times. And I'm like, okay, that's enough, Minnesota. Then I come to home plate and they're replaying it again.
As you're about to hit?
Yes. And I get a standing ovation for the worst dive. And I'm like, this is not – I turn to Jason Castro. I'm like, I don't want this. No, I'm not acknowledging this. I don't want a standing ovation for the worst play anyone's ever seen. And then I hit a tater that at bat. And then I got booed the whole way around. Oh, So it was a sequence of events that was good. And Ricky Weeks, I remember coming in and Ricky Weeks just stared at me, you know, like that side stare, like, what in the world is this fool doing the whole time? And that's the Minnesota story.
Are the lights in Minnesota as bad as the lights in Detroit?
No, the lights in Detroit are worse.
I lost when we were playing Detroit this year. I lost a hand, like over the course of three games, a handful.
Oh yeah. I remember watching you. My heart fell for you.
Yeah. Miggy hit one, like his patented, like inside out with two strikes. And as soon as it went up, I was like, I can't see it.
It's gone. That's the worst feeling as an outfielder.
Yeah. I ran in and I slid and like, it was like, I was like 5 feet away from it.
Like, no, I love that. I love that. Dude, speaking of lights, this is a funny story. In the Dominican, okay, the lights go out all the time. All the time. And so it was the ninth inning of my second to last game. And Hunter Strickland is pitching down there. And I'm on I'm up, but like I'm waiting in between innings. And I'm walking to home plate and the lights behind home plate go out. So I'm like, all right, we're going to be into a delay like 20, 30 minutes. Wait for this at bat. And the coaches come together and then they leave and the umpire tells Hunter to keep throwing. And I'm like, hold on. We're going to play? Yeah, one light's fine, Poppy. Two lights, we stop. No. This light is right behind home plate now. It's not in the right field lights. I'm like, I can't see anything. It's like hitting in the dark out here. And the lights.
Strickland's throwing like 95, 98, too.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right. So I'm just going to go in there and just try and guess fastball because I'm not going to be able to see the spin. Like, I'm going to look for the ball and swing. Yeah, what does he do? He throws me three breaking balls, and I go back to the dugout. Like, oh, I appreciate it, Hunter. It's American on American crime right there. Unbelievable. It's
illegal in another country.
I know. Gringo on gringo.
Steven, you've been an absolutely exceptional guest.
Thank you, guys. This was a blast.
That was Steven Souza Jr., one of my favorite teammates of all time. His energy in the 2020 season and his constant comedy, just fantastic in the locker room.
That interview was one of my favorites.
You've been playing him for so long, and it did not disappoint.
I think that was the most that I've laughed at a guest.
When he kept saying, like, he was talking about the Dominican, he was talking about, like, the tarantulas, he goes, it was fun. Yeah, it was great. I had a great time. It was fun.
The lights going off, I knew as soon as he said the lights went off, I was like, they're going to make them play. They're playing.
There's no way they stopped the game. Yeah. We're going to have to put some of those.
You should have to, you know, give the pitcher a chance out there. Help us out a little bit.
100 mile an hour cutters with no lights.
Yeah, seriously. Some of those stories that he talked about and some of those videos, we will definitely be uploading those together and they'll be hilarious.
Yes.
Let's say that we love Parse because we do love Parse. When I say Parse, you say rum. Parse.
Rum.
Nice job, Dakota.
Zach's probably on his phone, not listening.
Jeez. Oh, quick update. This is our last. We're off next week. This is our first off week since we started the podcast.
Podcasters need breaks too. Podcasters get holidays too.
Yes. So we're going to
have Dakota. Look at that.
We're just going to take the 1 week off.
We have just given us off for the holidays.
I know. He's such a good guy.
And then we'll be back after New Year's. We'll be back on the 5th.
That's right. Screen time.
Parse.
Rum.
Screen time. Rum.
Ooh. 1-1. 1-1.
2:30.
3:31.
2:38.
Let's go. It's back-to-back wins. Come on.
Wow. Pretty good. Don't forget that Obvious Shirts has Parse t-shirts. They have other t-shirts. They have coffee t-shirts.
Compound hats.
Which is one of my favorites.
And don't forget, if you buy a bottle of Parse, you also plant a tree. I mean, if that's the kind of thing you're into, saving the earth, I don't know. If that's the cool thing now is to save the earth, I'd say you probably should buy some Parse.
Drink Parse for this holiday season. Gift Parse this holiday season.
That's right.
I love Parse. You love Parse. We love Parse.
Rum.
That's episode 43.
Yep.
43 with our man, Steven Souza Jr. Definitely not coming to you live from the compound. Everybody have a good holiday. and we'll see you after the new year. That's it for the compound in 2020.